Mainstream Mental Health Radio
with Dr. John Huber.
What do you think you are, crazy or something? Well, you're not.
We're on a mission from God.
News, issues revolving around mental health.
Dr. John Huber, a mental health professional for over 20 years, the chairman for Mainstream Mental Health, a clinical forensic psychologist, and a psychology professor at Texas State University. Breaking the silence of mental health one day at a time, discussing the human condition, providing a sounding board for mental health issues, and making mental health mainstream.
You got a gift, my friend.
Now it's time for Mainstream Mental Health Radio.
Let the healing begin.
With Dr. John Huber. To Mainstream Mental Health Radio with your host, Dr. John Huber. Check us out on social media. Google Plus, Mainstream Mental Health. Instagram, at Mainstream Mental Health. Twitter, at Mainstream MENTL. And search for Mainstream Mental Health on Facebook. Please tune in every week to Mainstream Mental Health Radio with your host, Dr. John Huber.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Mainstream Mental Health Radio Show. I'm your host, Dr. John Huber. Thank you for listening, and please remember to share us with your friends and family. You can follow us at mainstreammentalhealth.org. You can check out our show on the Mental Health Radio Network. You can also check us out on Blog Talk and iTunes and anywhere else radio blogs and podcasts are put out there. We're on just about every one of them. So all of you listeners who've heard me before, you know I do lots of interviews on social media and how potentially harmful it can be, and yet most of us are required to do it for our jobs and things like that. And you also hear me talking about using physical exercise and stretching and yoga and martial arts and camping and fishing and getting outdoors and how we can counteract a lot of what's going on. So today we thought we would bring on a guest who has written a book called Beyond the Mat about yoga and how that affects our lives. I'll let her talk about that in a minute. And she also does lots of data and research and discussions on social media. So with that, I'd like to introduce everybody to Dr. Julie Rosenberg. She is an MD, and you all know I'm a psychologist, and there's a difference there. But I also understand she's a pediatrician, and we'll confirm that in just a minute. Dr. Rosenberg, welcome to the show.
Hi, Dr. Huber. Great to be here.
Awesome. Well, quickly catch up, everybody, and make sure I give them the right info on you. You are an MD, and, you know, some people say, oh, finally, somebody, a real expert, not this PhD guy on here. And that's okay. But what's your background and history for my listeners?
My background is that I am a pediatric oncologist right now. So I have worked in the cancer field for many years. For the past 12 years, I've been involved in drug development. I oversee several key drug development programs, all focused on service and treatment of patients with cancer. And with that, I've really had a chance to travel around the world, and that's where a lot of my interest in optimal living and leading and healthy practices has come about, because I think beyond the scope of treatment for disease, we've got a responsibility to help people maintain their health.
And it's a complete health, not just one little part of it. And I agree 100%. And so tell us about your book. What made you write Beyond the Mat?
So in addition to being a pediatric oncologist, as we've spoken, I also am a yoga, meditation, and mindfulness instructor. And my certification really came about in the meditation and yoga because I needed a way to manage the stress of my career and actually my family life. And, you know, the story that we've all heard before about trying to balance career and family and all the busyness of society today. So I really found a way, I think, for myself, Dr. Huber, to move along despite the vicissitudes, if you will, of our lives in a way that allowed me to be healthy, focused, and present in my life for the things that were important, and actually achieved more due to my yoga and meditation practices. And I said, hey, maybe I can offer something to other individuals that is a framework for optimal living and leading in modern times. And that is really what Beyond the Mat is. It's not a book about yoga per se. It's a lot more. It's that framework that I just mentioned.
You know, and that is so important that, you know, it's oftentimes not really about the yoga. It's about that framework that yoga can provide you. I get lots of people who go, oh, well, I'm not a contortionist. I can't do yoga. And I'm like, no, yoga doesn't mean you're going to be a contortionist. You know, it's about balance. It's about balance in your life. And people just have such a hard time because we're so stuck in our Western ideals about different things. And, you know, we see little snippets of yoga in movie scenes and think that's what it's about. And it's so confusing to a lot of people. And
right.
You discovered it by traveling, correct?
Well, I discovered it by traveling to some extent. It was available to me. You know, I've lived in a city environment for most of my life, so it was available
okay.
in classes. But when I really delved into it, I realized there was so much more beyond the asana
right.
practice, which is what folks often you know, equate with yoga per se.
Mm-hmm.
So what I try to do, Dr. Huber, in Beyond the Mat is I distill that down. I give people in simple ways that optimal framework for leading and living, and I show how the practice of yoga is so much more than just what one does on the mat. And quite frankly, while I think it's great for people to do a yoga practice, I do a short yoga practice at least every day. I don't think it's critical for them to be on a mat to adopt this framework for living and leading.
And that's very important too. It's, you know, it's the same way with the martial arts. And I have several of my patients that I've gotten into yoga and martial arts. And I have to tell them, you know, I don't want you to become some kind of ninja assassin or anything else like that. It's not about that. It's about learning what you can take from the training itself and how to apply that in your everyday life to keep you centered, keep you grounded, and realize that there's a balance to everything. And it's not just Facebook and not just Instagram, not just Snapchat, which a lot of these people, they find themselves, you know, they come home from work and they sit down and the night's gone and they've only been on a couple of these social apps. And wait, I haven't eaten dinner yet, you know, and that's a scary thing.
Right. I mean, I think that most of us are going to be involved in some type of social media, but I view it as a critical need, especially with the overwhelming amount of media that comes across all of our lives, you know, today. I view it as a critical need to find balance. And just to be clear with your listeners, you know, some of the things I've learned from yoga are purposeful living, non-reactivity, groundedness, focus, being present, having an open posture. And I'll tell you, I also think it's a path to more eternal youth, if you will. I think it keeps us young to be, you know,
yeah.
less stressed, and yoga helps with stress. So I've just listed a number of things that your listeners could get from, you know, Beyond the Mat, or just understanding yoga a bit more than what we see when we just go into a studio, perhaps for the first time, and think it is a form of postures or just exercise or the like. It's
right.
so much more.
Exactly. And, you know, it's about taking care of yourself physically and spiritually. And, you know, the rest of the self just kind of seems to come together. And right now I've got some family members that are going through some serious stress. And you know, I can't be their therapist, but I have sat down with them and said, look, you guys need to start taking care of yourself. And I started talking about yoga, about massage therapy, about being in the present instead of dwelling on, you know, what might happen 20 months from now, you know. And it's amazing how in less than 10 days it's changed the whole atmosphere within their core family and how they are dealing with things, and things are a much more pleasant, calmer situation. And think about your business environment, especially if you're a business owner and you got heavy demands and you need to take time because you are important. You need to take time to keep yourself healthy because that's going to help your business and your employees and everybody else. And it sounds like that's a lot of what you're talking about in their book.
It is. It's really how we remain healthy for life. As you know, folks are living longer and longer, and if we live longer, we want to live well. And folks are working longer as we're living longer, and we want to be able to work well and with vitality. And this is really my message. We can do it, but we've got to take ownership of ourselves, of our lives, and of our health.
And it's so important. You almost said the responsibility word, but you said ownership instead. I appreciate that because a lot of people go, no, not the R word. But ownership is responsibility. And if you have a responsibility, you don't like the way things are, you can change it. You can do something different. And that's where I like to go back to the yoga, to, you know, and my martial arts is mixed martial arts, and the first 25 minutes is all but yoga stretching. That's what we do as we go through the different yoga forms. And so I benefit greatly from it myself. And, you know, I was in court all day yesterday, and I barely made it to the last martial arts class. And I walked in there, and they actually extended the yoga another 15 minutes because they could tell I was pretty burnt out from the day. And I feel so much better when I left last night. It was just amazing how much it transformed me.
And that's a typical experience. And, you know, certainly you can go to a class or for a yoga practice. Of course, as you know, you can even do a home practice. It doesn't require a lot
yes.
of fancy clothing or equipment. You know, really learning about some of these underpinnings and the philosophy of yoga is very important to be able to fully adopt this into one's life and, you know, move forward in a more optimal way where you feel more grounded and you feel more well.
Well, and I think that that's important that you can do it at your home. I know, you know, there's several yoga people I monitor, I maintain and watch, like through YouTube and things like that, from all over the world, Germany, Australia, and some of these people are just amazing. And a couple of them have gone through their journey in yoga, and they talk about how, you know, they lived out way out in the country and they had nobody. So, you know, they learned by trying and reading books and then talking with people online and things like that. And now, you know, they have, you know, 500,000 followers because they're so good at what they do. And they're so, you don't get an hour worth of yoga with them. You get their philosophy. They're discussing their life and how they utilize the benefits of the yoga in there. And I just, you know, when I do have time to watch videos, I tend to watch them and listen to them because it's very motivating and inspirational. You don't have to have a class. You don't have to be in a big city. You can do this on your own and become very successful with it.
Yes, and one other thing I wanted to mention as well is that you don't have to be in tip-top physical shape to do yoga.
Correct.
It actually will help you if you're not in the best of shape. And there are a number of initiatives that are out there and learnings for people, for example, that have cancer. I mean, this is a population that I serve, and many people express huge benefit from a yoga practice. And it can be anything from gentle stretching and meditation to something a bit more rigorous. And, of course, you know, a person should check with his or her physician before starting anything rigorous for sure. But it should be a yoga practice should be in some way, shape, or form available to anyone.
Excellent. And I agree with that 100%. Now, we kind of focused on the yoga and stuff, but really I also am very interested in what you're doing with the social media. And what do you have going on with that? What's your message?
Well, I think my message for social media is basically, I have to say, I use social media for outreach to distribute information about health and wellness. So I think that social media is a very good vehicle. But I'm also aware, yes, as a physician, that it definitely can be, too much social media can be a risk factor for mental health problems, including depression and anxiety. And I think these are the types of things we really need to avoid. So, Dr. Huber, as I said earlier, I'm really in for balance. I don't think that folks should avoid social media 100%.
Correct.
I don't think that's pragmatic. I don't think it's practical. But I think there needs to be an awareness of some of the problems that can occur. And when people, you know, are on multiple platforms at a time, just keeping, you know, 7 to 11, 12 platforms open, folks can really get into a state of anxiety. And I think, you know, I don't have to tell you, as a mental health professional, that cyberbullying or harassment has certainly been known to occur using social media or other forms of, you know, electronic entertainment. And, you know, we don't want to see this online bullying, which has become increasingly common among teenagers. And certainly this has been shown to lead to depression and other mental health types of problems for people, especially teenagers, as I just mentioned. So it's important to know what the risks are when one uses social media, and it's important to really focus on a balance in life with the use of social media limited to a relatively short time per day.
And that is true. I mean, you know, all the data out there shows that too much social media can actually be causal for depression. If you don't have it in the first place, it'll actually cause that. And the behavioral data shows that if you're online doing social media for 2 hours, you already start physically showing physical signs of depression at 2 hours. So it needs to be balanced. It has to be balanced. And it's a difficult thing. What kind of advice do you have for parents who are dealing with young people and teenagers as they start finding out, hey, all my friends are on Snapchat, I want to be on Snapchat? What do you do with your parents in that situation?
Well, I really think that awareness is key. So my advice is to ensure that parents, you know, perform sort of an educational function. I also think that structure is underrated. So, you know, if a kid really wants to be on Snapchat, his friends are on Snapchat, okay, maybe 15 minutes of Snapchat 3 times a week is reasonable. But I think sometimes social media needs to be monitored by parents. And as we talked about earlier, exercise, you know, is key. Physical fitness is key. Good nutrition is key. You know, we really want to have healthy lifestyles in addition to the other things we talked about, martial arts and yoga and the like. So I think that these types of frameworks in moderation are acceptable. But I also think education is power. So if parents are aware of the messaging that we're sharing together today and they can educate their kids about this, I think it really can help. And, you know, just keep in mind for everyone that engagement in these virtual types of platforms, it really leads to real emotions and real sensitivity. So while the environment is virtual, we get a reaction that we really internalize. And, again, that's where we can see the anxiety, depression, and other things. So I find that good habits really should be there to stay. And if we foster good habits in our youth early, it gives them a foundational approach to living and leading that hopefully they take with them well into adulthood.
Well, we know that developmentally the child's mind is, you know, middle 20s before it gets finished production, you know, and becoming an adult mind. And they haven't learned how to set boundaries. They haven't learned to set limits for themselves. So a lot of times it's painful for parents to go in and say, nope, you have to stop now. And I have to remind parents, you know, you're not here to be their best friend. You know, you're here to guide them and teach them. And they don't have the physical cognitive structures necessary to do this independently on their own as much as you want them to be there. They're not there. And it's hard. It's hard as a parent. I'm a parent, and I've got, you know, I got two teenagers, and What do they want to do? Video games, social media. It's like, sorry, you want to do that. I need something else from you. You have to pay for it, you know. So, you know, they're both becoming accomplished musicians. They're both martial artists. My son's a second-degree black belt. They like to fish and hunt, and they do those activities in exchange for screen time.
And I think that's a great way to approach it. And I have a son as well, and my approach is similar. I think, you know, as we talked about earlier, the idea of structure needs to be implemented with kids because they can't necessarily create their own. And so
that's right.
They can earn social media time, or one can limit time, you know, during the school week or what have you. But I think we're not going to get rid of it 100%. And I think there is some value to social media in terms of communication devices. But the flip side just needs to be known, recognized, and assimilated. And I'd like to see people get out there and, you know, exercise more and engage more and be in
yes.
relationship more, because we're becoming a virtual and disconnected world, and that's really what we don't want.
Well, and we see that neurologically, you know, they're getting the dopamine burst from all the social media, but they're not getting all the ancillary healthy nutrition you get from, you know, running into your best friend in the hallway and smiling and hugging and, you know, all the things that make us a complete emotional person. They're not getting that, and they're not learning to make eye contact. And this is a phenomenon that's happened very quickly. I mean, you know, social media, smartphones is like 11 years old. And television, we started off with just one channel, and then we moved to two and three and then 30, and now we got 300. But we've had an opportunity to adapt and see the pitfalls and learn where we need to limit ourselves or not limit ourselves. And it's a scary thing sometimes when we realize that this was an instantaneous change in not just society, but the whole world. And it's scary, but I believe, you know, we'll get through it. We got through Elvis. We'll get through this.
I agree with you too, Dr. Huber, and I did want to make one comment to your point about nutrition. In addition to the other challenges of social media, we have been over the same period of time, say the past 10, 12 years, seen an increase in childhood obesity. And I believe a lot of this is due to computers and social media and the kids
yes.
not getting out there and exercising and doing other active things. So, you know, it's a triple whammy, you know, the nutrition of the brain, but also in the nutrition of the body. Our sedentary
mm-hmm.
lifestyles are killing us as well. And I think we as parents really need to be good models for our children to encourage those healthy habits. So, you know, it runs the gamut. It's really everyone from childhood through adulthood needs to pay close attention. And in this way, hopefully we can impart more health focus in our society moving forward.
And it's so true, and I keep reminding people, and they go, well, you know, I don't have any kids, I don't have it. And I'm like, you know, it's really important that we all participate in this, because the kids today are going to be the people taking care of you and me when we're checking into the nursing home, and I want them to have some skills to tell how I'm feeling and make eye contact and be empathetic and be human.
Right. I agree with that. And that humanity is what we want to really foster. And so I'm a big fan of adopting healthy habits and being aware of the risks of some of the things that have advanced our society, but also may challenge our society. That awareness sometimes is key to ensuring that one does develop healthy habits, but we do have a long way to go. And, you know, I'm certainly glad to have a chance to be part of that mix and to write and to educate along these things, because I think they're just so important today.
They are significantly. So where can my listeners get your book? Where can they find out about you? Do you have a website? What, you know, now we'll go back and make everybody jump into social media here. How can
sure.
we get a hold of you?
Well, it'd be great for folks to actually take a few moments and read, right? So my book
yes.
is called Beyond the Mat, Achieve Focus, presence, and enlightened leadership through principles and practice of yoga. It is published by DiCapo Press, and it's available online and in your local bookstores. It's in wide release. My website is www.julierosenbergmd.com. And I have useful information on my website. And if your listeners want to, they can sign up for my newsletter, and I give a lot of information about health, wellness, and leading oneself and others in modern times in an optimal way.
Awesome. Now, are you available for, you know, if they have questions, is there a place they can send you an email, or maybe are you available for some public speaking if that were something they wanted?
I am available for speaking engagements, and I am available for email chats. I do get a fair number of emails, so sometimes those responses are delayed, but I'm happy to hear from people. My email address is authorjulierosenberg at gmail.com, AUTHORJULIEROSENBERG at gmail.com.
Excellent. Well, thank you for coming on, Dr. Rosenberg. I really appreciate it. Again, another one of my, you know, we're talking to the choir when we talk to each other, and it's good to hear. It reaffirms what I've studied, what I've learned, and I'm glad I'm not the only one out there preaching it, because it takes all of us to get this out there and to make these changes happen. And electronic media is so powerful. It is so overwhelming that we have to have as big a voice as we possibly can. So thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you, and I appreciate the work that you do, and I appreciate the opportunity to share a few thoughts with your listeners.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much. That concludes our show for today, and I want to remind everybody to follow us at mainstreammentalhealth.org and check out our podcast on the Mental Health News Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to Mainstream Mental Health Radio with your host, Dr. John Huber. Check us out on social media, Google+, Mainstream Mental Health, Instagram at Mainstream Mental Health, Twitter at Mainstream MENTL, and search for Mainstream Mental Health on Facebook. Please tune in every week to Mainstream Mental Health Radio with your host, Dr. John Huber.
Because of something.